Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast. Today's message is Being a Person of Influence by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
When you are a person of excellence, God will show you off. That's my child right there. They represent me well. Now, see, you know, let me say this. You know, I know, thank God for anointing and all that, but the more educated you are, the more God has to work with. Don't get mad. That's not to devalue anyone, but is to put a value on education. The more educated you are, the more God has to work with. Okay? The New Testament, most of the scripture was written by a man named Paul, who spoke several languages. People say that anyone who represents himself has a fool for an attorney. You ever hear that what they say, right? If you represent yourself, you have a fool for an attorney. That was the case with Paul. Paul, at each lower level, study it out in the book, start reading probably around Acts, around the 15th, 16th chapter, start reading forward. Could we see what Paul is doing here in our system? He's going through the appellate courts. And he wins his argument at each level and appeals to the higher court. And he ultimately wanted to get before Caesar. Because he was educated in Jewish law, he was educated in Roman law, he was educated in a Greek culture. That's why he goes and stands before them on Mars Hill and says, I see all these statues you have. I see you're very, very superstitious, very religious. He said, but you have a statue to the unknown God. Let me declare him to you. And he was able to talk with Greek philosophers. The Greeks were pursuers of philosophy and intelligence, and they just sat around talking theory about the earth and how things work. And Paul sat right there among them. And as a result of that, he ends up writing a majority of the New Testament. You see thou somebody who's diligent and skillful, so you need to be diligent and you need to be skillful. I want to encourage you, anything, any business you were in, try to master that business. Because you need to understand something. This is how the IRS looks like this. Looks at this. If you were in a particular business, you need to know the tax law of that business. Now, the IRS, you say, so in case of ministry, there's certain specific tax advantages or things for preachers and ministers. What you can do, what you can't do, what's taxable, what's non-taxable. Well, preachers go to jail all the time because they say, I didn't know. And IRS says, well, you should have known you were preaching. That's your business. Are y'all understanding me? People get taken advantage of in the music business because they know music, but they don't know the business. Whatever endeavor you're in, master that business. If you sell cars, you need to know the car business. You do hair, you need to know the hair business so people's hair won't be falling out. If you do manicures and pedicures, you need to know what you're doing so people don't get funguses as a result of you doing their nails. I don't know. You ought to know. I don't need to know. You ought to know. That's like you come to me to ask me about the Bible. I say, I don't know nothing about the Bible. Now, that may be all right for you not to know nothing about the Bible. It's not all right for me to know nothing about the Bible because this is my business. And so if you're going to be, you got to be diligent and skillful in your business. And as a result, you stand before kings and not before obscure men. Are y'all hearing me here? Secondly, if you're going to be a person of influence, you got to be generous. I'm talking about money, but I'm not just talking about money. Money is a demonstration of generosity. But when I'm talking about being generous, I'm talking about being a giving person who adds value to other people's lives. If you're going to be a person of influence, you need to add to other people's lives. Everybody say, Lord, help me to add to other people's lives. I say this all the time, and it's something I learned as I got older. Every relationship should be a relationship of reciprocity on some level. There's giving and receiving. Somebody's going to get mad and or tired if all they're doing is giving and never receiving, and then somebody's going to get mad and tired if all you're doing is taking and never giving. When Bishop Bailey comes down here, there's a couple that travels with him, Minister Lamont and his wife Alice. And they'll usually either stay at my house. This time, most recently, they stayed at my Uncle Robert's house up in Blythewood. And so whenever he comes, they stay at our house. There's no, you know, we're there here for a week, no charge. We got extra rooms, okay. But the first thing he does, he says, what do y'all want to eat? As a matter of fact, this time we were down here, Pastor Marcia forgot that he wasn't staying with us. Because he usually cooked. And we had guests in the house. He's like, oh, I guess these people need some breakfast. Because he's usually with us. And before we get up, he's up. He's making grits and sausage. Man, I wake up. He cooked. I don't be just trying to fix something to eat. You almost dip between cooking and fixing something to eat. Husbands, y'all know the difference, right? You want something to eat, you're going to cook. And he would cook. I mean, he would plan out a menu, salmon, and all kinds of really. And so the last day they were here before they left, I went over to my Uncle Robert's house and my aunt and I said, how? They said, oh, it's been good. They said, but we asked Lamont if he wants to stay. Said, this has been good. Now watch this. Nobody's saying anything that he didn't pay. Well, he ain't getting no money. This ain't no hotel. But he sure earned his keep, ain't he? Giving and receiving. I don't understand people who let people stay with them and do nothing. Grown people gotta give something. You need to take a garbage out. You need to be washing the dishes. You need to be scrubbing some floors. You can't just sit up and help. You ought to be giving something. Every relationship should be a relationship of reciprocity. That's why I'm saying it's not always money. Add value to other people's lives who you are around and who enrich your life. You can't just be a taker. You can't just be a taker, a moocher, a parasite, and a sucker. Ask your neighbor, say, Pastor ain't talking about you, he's a pastor. Takers, moochers, parasites, and suckers. They will drain the life out of you. Some people you have no problem giving because you know in some kind of way they're going to give it back. It's not always going to be financially. You know, some people you help, you say, man, I'm going to help because they would do the same for me. You know they have a generous spirit. There's an old hymn of the church that says, money, you got lots of friends crowding around the door. But when you're gone and spending ends, they don't come no more. Rich relations give, crust of bread and such. You can help yourself, but don't take too much. Because mama may have, and papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own. That's God his own. Some of y'all thought that was a real hymn, didn't you? Some of y'all said, what's the hymn? We didn't sing that down in Slippery Rock. That's a song called God Bless the Child, originally recorded by Billie Holiday. You need to understand that mama may have, papa may have, God bless the child that has his own. And that verse says, I'm going to show this from the scripture. Listen to that verse again. Money, you got lots of friends crowding around the door. But when you're gone, spending ends, they don't come no more. Rich relations give. Crust of bread and such. You can help yourself, but don't take too much. I want to help you, but don't take everything. Don't always be taking. Because mama may have, papa may have, but God bless the child to have his own. In other words, at some point, you just can't be mooching off other people. Now, I'm going to show you some of the scripture. Some is going to make you mad. And some of you hopefully is going to change your attitude and change how you operate with people. Look at Psalms 112 and verse 9. Psalms 112, verse 9. I always tell you Psalms 112 gives you all the categories of a blessed person. And the blessed person, it doesn't just say talk about what they have, it talks about what they give. They share freely and give generously to those in need. So being blessed is not just having somebody give to you. being blessed is being able to give and share with somebody else. You don't really know you're blessed until you got enough to bless somebody else and all your needs still taken care of. They share freely and give generously to those in need. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. Why? Because they're generous people. They will have influence and honor. There was a particular man of God who went to be with the Lord just a couple years ago. And there was some scandal preceding his death before that. And some people talked about that. But everybody who knew him said he was such a giving person. Oh, he helped so many people. So the people who knew him, they didn't remember him by the scandal. They remembered him based upon his good deeds and all the people he helped and all the people he blessed. The people who didn't know him talked about the scandal. The people who knew him talked about his good deeds, how he blessed people and helped people. What do you want to be remembered for? Because every day, y'all, you're writing your eulogy. And for those of you who don't know, heard me tell his story, as a young father, I was very stressed. I was working 60, 70 hours a week. I was working about 60 at the office and about another 10 at home. Wake up in the middle of the night, wake up early in the morning. I mean, some of y'all think working from home is a good thing. But if you work from home, they will work you. Okay? And you work more if you work from home, generally speaking, because, you know, you're not stopping by the water cooler and going by the copier and all this kind of stuff, you know. And, I mean, if you're really a diligent person. And so I used to be stressed. I walk in the house. What are these toys doing here? Move these toys. How many times did I say, get these shoes out of here? That's how I came in the house, y'all. I'm coming out. What? And the kids were like, Daddy's home. The kids wasn't like running. Daddy's home. They're like, oh, Daddy's home. And I listened. Some of you may know me by the name of Chuck Swindoll. Okay? And you all know Chuck Swindoll. Okay? Yeah. Teacher, I think he's still on the radio now. But I heard Chuck Swindoll eulogizing his father at his funeral. And the things he was saying about his father, what a great man he was and how encouraging he was and how loving he was and all that. I thought, man, if I die today, that will not be my eulogy. All my children are going to be talking about is he came home every day and yelled. He wanted the house clean. He was stern. And I started thinking, is that how I want to be remembered? And my children were young. So I made a decision. And some of you heard me say this before. I said, the kids were kids. They'll be yelling and fighting and boys. I had three boys who stayed in one room. They would have WWF in there and, you know, coming off the top rope and jump bunk beds, flipping off the bed. I mean, when we came here to South Carolina, people are so nice here. When we came to South Carolina, we rented a house. And the woman said, I said, how much deposit do you need? She said, $250. I said, no, you're going to need more than that. I didn't tell her. That's what I said to myself. Because my boys, they're going to tear this place up. And $250 is not going to be enough to repair the damages. You really should ask for more. I already knew. Okay? And so I would come home and I would start saying stuff like, I want peace in this house. Peace in there. They would be screaming. And one day Pastor Marshall said, you know, this is not just your house. This is these children's house too. This is their house. I'm like, they don't pay no rent. I ain't in there. But she said, you know, kids should be able to be kids in their house. I never thought about that. They should be able to enjoy their house. And so I'm yelling, they want peace and peace. I want peace in this house. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me just as clear and said, you are disturbing the peace in this house. If you will be peaceful, there will be peace in this house. You are disturbing the peace. You are the peace breaker. And so I made a conscious decision how I wanted my kids to remember me. How I wanted my kids to remember me. So in our private induction for me to become bishop, each of my children had to give their own testimony and searching of me as to why I qualified to be a bishop. And I paid them to talk just right. Y'all know I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. And so, each of them got up and talked about how I am as a father and as a mentor and being available to them and all that kind of stuff. And my mind went back. Suppose I hadn't changed. What would my kids be saying? Would they have to get up here and lie? And say, just make him bishop anyway. Can you just go ahead and make him bishop? Don't ask me no questions. Just go ahead and make him a bishop. Listen, y'all work that out. I'm trying to stay out of this. I thought, suppose I hadn't changed. So I had to make a decision, y'all, to change. I had to make a decision how I want to be remembered. Let me go back to my point. Do you just want to be remembered as a taker? Or do you want to be remembered as a giver? Somebody who always had your hand out, always taking from somebody else's life, always wants somebody to do something for you without giving back. Is that how you want to be? Because every day you're writing your own eulogy. So thank God my children got up and said things about me, didn't have to lie. Because I made a decision years ago to think about how I want to be remembered. And so now they can eulogize me while they're living. And I have to just... You know, y'all ever go to some people's home going and you don't even know the person, but you kind of know how they were based upon what they're not saying. People get up and say, y'all know, yeah, Aunt so-and-so. Y'all know. She let you know what she's thinking. Uncle so-and-so. He didn't buy the words. Everybody know they cuss you out. You don't have to say all. You know by what they said that they will cuss you out and let you have it. You want people to say the truth about you and not to hold back the truth. That's good stuff, y'all. I know we ain't hooping, but this is good for y'all. So where was I reading? Psalm 112, they freely share, give generously to those in need. Their good deeds are remembered forever. They will have, well, here we go. Put it back up. Psalm 112 and 9. They share freely, give generously to those in need. Their good deeds will be remembered, and they will have what? They'll have what? They'll have influence and honor. When you are a giving person, you will have influence. You ever have somebody, again, my father could have no influence in my life because he didn't do anything for me. And so his opinion would not matter to me. I remember him saying, I'm proud of you. I'm like, proud? You have no reason to be proud because you haven't contributed nothing to my life for me to be proud of. Proverbs 19, verse 4. That's the only point I'm going to be able to get to today. Proverbs 19, 4. Wealth maketh many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor. Now, y'all don't have to like this. The Bible's saying If you're a giving person, got some money, you're going to have some friends. But if you broke all the time, folks not going to want to be around you. Well, I can't help it. Do what you can to help it. We're not talking about going through a crisis. We're talking about living in a way that you are never able to sustain yourself. Y'all quiet on me here now. Said, you will eventually just drain people and you're going to be separated from your neighbors and your friends. Now, so y'all, I know this sounds rough, but y'all know right now there's family members who call you, you ain't answering. You don't have to ask if they're calling you because they got your hand out. So don't be looking at me with that religious look. If they call, you're avoiding the call because they want to take something, they want to give, they got some kind of crisis, and you won't hear from them again until they have another need, another crisis. Verse 6. Many will entreat the favor of the prince, and every man is a friend to him that what? That giveth gifts. So all the brethren of the poor hate him. That's from his relatives. And when it says hate, it means they try to avoid him. How much more do his friends go from him? You don't see what the scripture says? He said even his own relatives don't want to be around him. How much more friends going to get from around him? Y'all don't have to like this. I'm telling you what the word says. He pursueth them with his words, yet they are wanting to him. He always trying to call him, but they won't take the calls. Listen to it from the Living Translation. Wealth maketh many friends, poverty drives them all away. Yeah, let it sink in. Wealth maketh friends, poverty drives them away. Verse 6. Many seek favors from a ruler. Everyone is a friend of a person who gives gifts. The relatives of the poor despise them. How much more will their friends avoid them? Though the poor plead with them, their friends are gone. This is not talking about a crisis. This is talking about a taker. This is talking about a taker. Never have anything to give. Never have anything to contribute. Never willing to help anybody with anything. Again, it's not always money. Ooh. Oh, my Lord, 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 Lord. Mm-hmm. I go into that chant whenever I feel like I'm battling with the message. Okay? Let me give that from one more scripture, one more translation, I'm done. Proverbs 19, verse 4, Message translation. Wealth attracts friends as honey draws flies. But poor people are avoided like the plague. Everybody said, Lord, help me not to be poor. And this is talking about that perpetual state of always being in need.
Who are you influencing in your everyday life? Are you positively affecting others? Bishop Herbert Bailey will help you to impact those around you and become a person of influence. Order this powerful series today. You can also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. For immediate access, subscribe to Right Direction TV. Ask for Being a Person of Influence. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info
or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.